Friday, January the 7th, 11, 2 Shavuot 5771. Day 6 before Shabbat, Parashah Bo, come. Haftarah, Jeremiah 46, 13-28.
Babylonia will strike Egypt.
The word that Yahweh spoke to Jeremiah the prophet, how that Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon should come and strike the land of Egypt. Declare in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Memphis and in Tahpanhes, say, stand forth, and prepare, for the sword has devoured around you. Why are your strong ones swept away? They didn't stand, because Yahweh pushed them. He made many to stumble, yes, they fell one and another, and they said, arise, and let us go again to our own people, and to the land of our birth, from the oppressing sword. They cried there, Pharaoh king of Egypt is but a noise, he has let the appointed time pass by. As I live, says the king, whose name is Yahweh of hosts, surely like Tabor among the mountains, and like Carmel by the sea, so shall it come. You daughter who dwells in Egypt, furnish yourself to go into captivity, for Memphis shall become a desolation, and shall be burnt up, without inhabitant. Egypt is a very beautiful heifer, but destruction out of the north has come, it has come. Also her hired men in the midst of her are like calves of the stall, for they also are turned back, they are fled away together, they didn't stand, for the day of their calamity has come in them, the time of their visitation. The sound of it shall go like the serpent, for they shall march with an army, and come against her with axes, as with cutters. They shall cut down her forest, says Yahweh, though it can't be searched, because they are more than the locusts, and are innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be disappointed, she shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, says, behold, I will punish Ammon of No, and Pharaoh, and Egypt, with her idol gods, and her kings, even Pharaoh, and those that trust in him. And I will deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants, and afterwards it shall be inhabited, as in the days of old, says Yahweh.
Elohim will preserve Israel.
But don't you be afraid, Jacob my servant, neither be dismayed, Israel, for, behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Don't you be afraid, O Jacob my servant, says Yahweh, for I am with you, for I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you, but I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, and will in no way leave you unpunished. Acts 17.
Preaching Messiah at Thessalonica.
Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Paul, as was his custom, went into them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Messiah had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Yeshua, whom I proclaim to you, is the Messiah. Some of them were persuaded, and joined Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and not a few of the chief women.
Assault in Jason's house.
But the unpersuaded Jews took along some wicked men from the marketplace, and gathering a crowd, set the city in an uproar. Assaulting the house of Jason, they sought to bring them out to the people. When they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and certain brothers before the rulers of the city, crying, these who have turned the world upside down have come here also, whom Jason has received. These all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Yeshua. The multitude and the rulers of the city were troubled when they heard these things. When they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go.
Ministering at Berea.
The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of the mind, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, also of the prominent Greek women, and not a few men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of Elohim was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there likewise, agitating the multitudes. Then the brothers immediately sent out Paul to go as far as to the sea, and Silas and Timothy still stayed there. But those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens. Receiving a commandment to Silas and Timothy that they should come to him very quickly, they departed.
The philosophers at Athens.
Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who met him. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also were conversing with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be advocating foreign deities, because he preached Yeshua and the resurrection." They took hold of him, and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is, which is spoken by you? For you bring certain strange things to our ears. We want to know therefore what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the strangers living there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
Addressing the Areopagus.
Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus, and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that you were very religious in all things. For as I passed along, and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown mighty one.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I announce to you. The Elohim who made the world and all things in it, he being Adonai of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he himself gives to all life and breath, and all things. He made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the surface of the earth, having determined appointed seasons, and the boundaries of their dwellings, that they should seek Adonai, if perhaps they might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Being then the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold, or silver, or stone, engraved by art and design of man. The times of ignorance therefore Elohim overlooked. But now it commands that all people everywhere should repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, of which he has given assurance to all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We want to hear you again concerning this.' Thus Paul went out from among them. But certain men joined with him, and believed. Among them also was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." End of today's Torah and related scriptures. Praise YAH. HNV version, in the public domain.